It is not hard to destroy a college.
Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
So I've tried to this week now. Once again, many, many attempts, but then it never lasts. You know, to eat healthy.
Yeah.
So I'm going to eat healthy. Mm-hmm. Enough's enough. This is ridiculous. You feel terrible, you want to lose some weight. I cannot go a couple of days without this extreme hunger. Like when I eat healthy, like right now I could eat anything. I'm talking about anything. And just continue to eat. Like steak, potatoes, just all I'm thinking about. This damn commercial keeps popping up for Arby's about this.
Yeah.
It's this fried chicken thing that's like melting cheese, pepper. And then they're dipping the chicken in the buffalo sauce that's coming out just dripping with this goodness. And I'm in here thinking about, oh, I go home, I'll have my avocado toast.
But you have to eat a lot of it, too. But that's good stuff.
When you... Right, and it's one piece of avocado toast what I've had for lunch. Like, that's all I'm having. But when you eat, like, and I don't make any excuses for being overweight. I'm not one of these guys, oh, I got a gland problem, or I don't have time to work
I have
out.
A thyroid problem.
I got this problem.
I'm like, big boned.
I just don't want to do it. I want to eat, and I don't want to work out. Yeah. That's it. Bottom line. So, but when you're used to eating what you want to eat for a while, and then you drastically change that.
Yeah.
I mean, me personally, it's damn near, and that's all I'm thinking about right now is food. That's the only thing. I mean, I have this little 90-calorie Fiber One cereal bar that I think is going to hold me over. I just ate that thing. My body's just already, like, dissolved in. What's next? Fine. Greg, that was cute. What are we doing next?
Why are you playing with me, Greg?
Yeah, that's what's going on.
Quit playing, Craig.
What was that? There's 10 more of those coming, right? I mean, it's like, what am I supposed to do?
Dude, I've been eating. I don't know what it is. I've been eating like I'm going to the electric chair. It's just amazing. And your metabolism kick. Maybe your metabolism is not as bad as you thought. It's burning all that stuff, and it's saying, give me more.
No, it's not. It's keeping me at this weight. It's like, okay, this is where we decided to be. Well, I do think that. And once again, this is not an excuse. I do think, though, that there's an addiction property to this stuff where, like, you eat fatty foods, you eat things with sugar, and your body just craves it and craves it and craves it.
And then you deprive your body of that, and your body doesn't know how to react. That's why it takes time. Baby steps, kids. Baby steps. One day at a time. Hey, 1 hour at a time.
But like,
fight the urge, right, Body Bob Seglia?
But this is the problem that I have, though, is like, I don't know what is worse. Like, feeling lethargic and not liking how I look, or the feeling now where I'm just like, I mean.
The former.
I don't know. For me, I don't know.
We have to look at you.
It's not that bad yet. Give me another year. But like, I'm thinking about like downstairs now, like egg sandwich. Do I do that? Should I buy everybody an egg sandwich? Like, these are the things I'm thinking of.
No, dude, those egg sandwiches are good.
It's one of my favorite things in the
world. I've been getting them the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, bacon, egg, and cheese on a roll or a bagel.
I get the sausage
like that
too. Oh, toast, and then put jelly on it.
I mean, it's just
the egg yolk running all down your
And the worst part about it is like, you have to eat. Like, you can't, it's not like a cigarette or any sort of addictive drug.
Yeah.
Like,
you need food.
Like, I'm going, like, everybody does it. It's around social, you know, things.
And, yeah.
You know, it's
tough,
just,
man.
It's
I went to that vegan restaurant, and it was like eating air.
Yeah.
I couldn't wait to get out of there and go get a burger. What I did, too. I'm done with this.
I mean, the very specific cravings that I have.
What are you craving right now?
Well, the bacon, egg, and cheese.
Oh.
And then, but that piece of fried chicken on that sandwich, too, that I saw with the melted cheese.
Yeah, I know. They've moved on from the brisket sandwich to this fried chicken sandwich. Come on, Art.
that's my stomach. I'm laughing at the things I'm giving it. Spaghetti. That's what you're eating next.
How long have you been on this journey?
This journey?
Couple days?
No, like a week and a half.
Okay, a week and a half. And you cheat on the weekends, right? That's what I do. I try to.
Shouldn't be doing that. No, I didn't eat all that well over the weekend. No, I didn't.
Oh.
I mean, I'm just trying, like, during the week to really... Because to me, there's no excuse to not eat healthy during the week. Because during the week, you should be able to do it.
All right.
Like, there's not as much stuff going on.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, once you get the colder weather, you should be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't. I just can't do it. I can't do it.
Can't do it. I cheat at ice cream, then I put some...
And I've got reasons to, like, to do it. But I don't do it. I just refuse.
It's tough. Who said it was easy, man? It's difficult.
Yeah, I don't need this.
Y'all can't look like John Beeson.
You know? Well, there is a genealogical thing going on here, too.
Okay,
there is. Like, dude, John Beeson was... There's people that are born like... You know, I was not born with those type of muscles.
I wasn't either.
Yeah, but...
No. But tall and thin.
But genes are... Yeah, right. But thin.
Yeah.
Thin.
But I have the fat gene.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
But look at you, though.
My daughter even said that to me. You gave me the fat gene.
Well, oh, really?
Laying that on your mama.
Right.
But no, she's not.
Like the people that, and what I'm talking about, like people who eat constantly.
I eat constantly.
And don't gain any weight, though.
I hate those. Yeah, I'm not one of those guys. See,
Billy Jockalone out there.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's one of those guys.
Can't stand him.
I mean, they're just their makeup.
Yeah.
Like, they just, Bob Dwyer, guy over here. I mean, the guy drinks like several regular Coca-Colas a day.
We got a guy on the TV side in research, Latito, Michael Latito. Oh, paper thin, and eats like crazy. Matter of fact, I give him my leftovers.
Yeah,
and
nothing
doesn't gain an inch.
Yeah, James Ward, who works here, used to produce the weekend.
Oh, he never stops.
I mean, it's unbelievable. The whole
used
show.
To work with J Dub, just the whole show, right? Eating
4 hours of eating.
Yep.
I mean, he'd order something, and then 2 hours later, he'd order something else from a different place. I'm like, what in the hell?
Hate you.
Right.
Yeah.
And there I am.
Okay.
My
Let's stop hating people.
Cereal
man.
Bar.
Yeah.
Stop hating.
Enjoy
That's
your
not
cereal.
all right. What were we going to talk about? Angel.
I don't
Rock.
Know.
That's right. Yeah.
And Caveman. Yeah.
Yeah. So he...
He's back.
Is he?
He's almost back.
I don't know, man.
He's practicing.
Yeah, but he's
practicing. He says he's going to play this year, and... I think he
So that's
play.
Not really back.
I said he's almost back. I amended my statement.
Well, it's funny because this article right here on NFL.com, Andrew Luck is back, sort
See?
Of.
Thank you.
It's a sort Boom. Of. Yeah, so he says there's no timetable for this. I mean, the team absolutely stinks. If I'm him, I take the whole year off.
Why?
I come back.
Well, I don't think they're going to rush him.
You know,
if they were going to rush him,
the
he would.
The team would've... sucks. He's just going to get his ass kicked.
And they need someone like a Jacoby Brissett, even though he wasn't able to continually get out of harm's way in the last ball game versus Seattle. But you need someone who can be a little bit more athletic. Not to say Andrew Luck isn't, because he is. And that's been surprising to a lot of folks, not those of us who watched him a ton at Stanford, but he is very athletic. That being said, playing behind this offensive line the last few years has not boded well for his body. That's why you have what you have now, him getting that shoulder fixed and trying to play with it. Wasn't a great idea, but that's what you're conditioned to do. He tried to fight through it. Then he said, okay, enough's enough. I need to get healthy. And he's taking the time he needs, and hopefully he will not be forced back into action before he's ready. And it looks like they're going to take the slow road in this deal because he's just slowly but surely getting in there, doing a little
bit. Well, what's the point of rushing him back? Because they're not going to the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, they suck. They're terrible. The roster stinks. They're just bad. And he's going to get laid out one out of every three plays when he comes back anyway. And that's why if I'm him, I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to hang out here. And when you guys get better, I'll come back and play. That's the... I'm in control here. Start acting like an NBA superstar. Be like, you know what? Fire this guy, fire that guy. I'll come back and play when you want me to. But he's not that type of guy. He certainly isn't. Andrew Luck, we can't wait till he comes back and we could hear his ridiculous voice again, too. Right?
I've got work to do to get to a level where I feel comfortable going out there and whipping every throw,
right,
in a sense. So I've still got... So got some work to do.
So,
that's part of the process. Yeah, that's part of the program that I'm on. That's, you know, that's part of why now I'm starting to integrate back into practice, because certain things, you know, I can do and feel pretty darn good doing. Now there's other things that I need to continue to work on.
Like this voice.
It sounds different. It sounds a little different.
No, it sounds about the same.
No.
It's he's not yelling as much. When he yells, it gets really like, if you get some post-game sound of him, he's like, and so it's in here, he's just a little more reserved.
In a sense. So I've still got.
And I've said this before, like every NFL season, I forget how weird he sounds. Mm. And then when the season.
Who sounds weirder? Mahomes or him? I think it's Mahomes.
No, Mahomes sounds cooler. Like, I feel like there's more people. Yeah, well, he sounds cooler. He does. He sounds like a blues man, you know? Like, all right, everybody. We're going to talk about my honey.
I loved Kansas City. Yeah.
Right?
How she broke my heart.
You know, like, that's what, he sounds cool.
Owner Clark Hunt.
I'm going to talk about Clark Hunt.
Oh, no.
The man owns a team I play for.
I disagree.
Clark Hunt.
It's like Mississippi John Hurt. That's what he is. And Andrew Luck is like Homo habilis. You know, he's like undeveloped man. You know, it's like he's living in the cave. Riding.
I feel comfortable going out there and whipping every throw.
Riding a saber-toothed tiger.
I feel like going out there and whipping every throw.
Yeah.
Owning the terrain.
So I don't know how this all started, but there was these big rumors that the L.A. Chargers are going to move right back to San Diego.
No way.
And it just didn't seem right when it happened. We talked about it, but right. And the NFL has come out and said, like, no.
And it's not going to happen. NFL spokesman Joe Lockhart just dismissed all of these reports that the Chargers would immediately turn around and head back south. Down the five to San Diego. No, that is not going to occur. And yes, it's going to take some time for the Chargers to endear themselves to their new community. It's going to take some time for them to get inside that environment and try to develop a new fan base. And the way you do that is to win football games. And right now, visiting teams going there, it seems as though the visiting team is at home. That's what a lot of the Eagles players said after this past weekend. The entire sidelines, the stands on their side of the sidelines were, or side of the field, were seemed like Eagles fans. So, yeah, it's going to take a while.
They're waiting for the new stadium, basically.
Well, here's the problem, though. You can't fill out this 27,000-seat stadium, and you're going to move into a 70,000-seat stadium. Is that place just going to be half empty, even more than half empty, if you can't even get 27,000 fans now to your games? They're sitting there at 0-4. They need to win some ball games. And if they start winning ball games, if you build it, they will come. That's the only way they're going to ever be able to generate a new line of fans for the Chargers.
Yeah, and the NFL, who is so concerned about what people think of them and is so concerned about doing things that are successful and not giving up their point of view, you think that they're really going to be a part of that team moving back? Because that's everything that they don't want to be, is embarrassed by something that they signed off on. So, as you mentioned, the NFL spokesperson, who has been doing a lot of speaking on these things, and the only place I've seen that is on internet rumors. It's the only place I've heard that. I don't really. Joe Lockhart is his name. It's the only place I've heard any of that stuff. So I think we should let that
right.
go.
Right. I don't know who keeps putting that out there, and if they have some concrete evidence that this team is considering moving back, please share that with us. But I don't see anything but speculation here. Nothing but speculation. I would think I have a source that's pretty close to the situation that would say, hey, here's a little nugget for you.
Speaking of L.A. sports, there is a documentary, and this is a story that I had heard of before. There's a documentary, new documentary on Netflix, called Long Shot, about a guy who gets arrested for murder. He's on trial for murder. He's in maximum security prison as he's awaiting trial, and he didn't commit this murder. And he said, I could not have committed this murder because I was at the Dodger game.
Mm-hmm.
So have you heard about this?
I heard about that, yeah.
So this is the most unbelievable story.
Right.
Just, I'm getting chills watching this last
night.
So they go, his lawyer, his defense attorney starts combing through the TV footage. He can't find him. There's something called Dodger Vision that's just closed captioning, whatever you want. Not closed captioning, the closed circuit television within the stadium. He goes through that. He finds his client on the video,
yep.
But it's too grainy, and they won't accept it. They're like, that could be anybody with a mustache.
So then his client tells him, he says, you know what's weird? He goes, there were people filming something.
Yep.
While I was at this
right.
game.
Yep.
He goes, there was a camera crew that was there, and I remember going to get my daughter some ice cream and then coming back, and I couldn't go back to my seat. There was a big guy with a camera and then some guy walking up and down the aisle. So they try to figure it out. He goes, a guy goes down. He said, he's like, I think it was HBO. He's like, I'm not sure. Guy goes down. Turns out they're filming an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Right. Right. When he took the hooker to the game.
The carpool lane episode.
Yes.
So he's going through all the footage. He's down there. He's going through all the footage. And I kid you not, and I'm even thinking about it again, I'm getting chills. So as Larry David is walking up the aisle, the production assistant decides, like, hey, just go back to your seat. At that exact moment. So they play the footage. Larry David's walking up the aisle, and here comes the guy holding his daughter's hand, walks right in front of Larry David to his seat. And then Larry David turns to the crowd and puts his arms up because people were cheering for him. And it was like this was meant to be.
I mean, unbelievable. I heard about this story a while ago and wasn't up on the documentary, but great for him and his family that they had this footage. And his lawyer went the extra mile to fight for him and his freedom and was able to locate this. Yeah. Just amazing story.
Right. And then when you actually see that footage and the timing of it, and him being there, and they chose that section to film in. I mean, there's so many things that make it one of the most unbelievable stories I've ever heard. And it wasn't even over then, because the district attorney was like, well, this doesn't prove anything, because we believe that the murder happened an hour later after he was caught on this tape.
Oh.
So here's another part of this that's nuts. He made a phone call to his girlfriend while he was still at the game, or as he was leaving the stadium. They used the cell phone tower to ping off, and he was at Dodger Stadium still when they believed the murder was going on.
Is that enough for you, Mr. Prosecutor?
Well, yeah, then they
come
tossed,
on.
The judge tossed it out, and that was that. But, yeah, you have Long Shot on Netflix. You got to watch it. All right, coming up next.
You are up on your docs, man.
It's good. It's good stuff.
Oh, that's a great story.
It's good stuff.
He should be in an episode of the new Curb Your Enthusiasm.
He should be, yeah.
Put him in there.
Have you seen the first one yet?
I have not.
All right, you just been lamping too much?
I've been lamping. All right. Been working too much, man.
Yeah. Coming up next, Antonio Brown apologizes and a hockey player on a flight, a story you need to hear. We're coming right back.
Give us a call right now, 855-212-4CBS.
See, this is another one of those songs that grew on me, because initially I wasn't digging it. I dig it now.
Really? You didn't like that song in the beginning?
I wasn't digging it at the beginning.
Oh, I loved it. First time I heard it, I knew
that's
it was.
That's the grow on me. Like a fungus. Yeah. Yeah, now I got the hopita.
The first time I heard that one, I knew it was...
You knew it was a hit?
Good to go. Well, for me.
You have that ear like Mikey B.
Well.
You do. Both of you guys.
I don't know about that. I just know what I like. I like that one.
Okay. Well, I like it now, too. Count me in. Bogus, you like it?
I do.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
All right, Bogus, what do you got for us, man?
Bogus,
I got an update, and I got Colorado Rockies righty John Gray doing his best Luis Severino impression in last night's NL wildcard game.
Gray out of the stretch, has his sign. And the pitch on the way, and Goldie swings. High fly ball, deep left field, warning track wall, touch him all, Goldie! A three-run homer, 3-0 Diamondbacks.
After three batters, Greg Schulte, Diamondbacks Radio, Gray got through the first, unlike Severino, but was pulled in the second after allowing a fourth run. His Rockies spotted the Diamondbacks six runs in total before getting as close as one on two different occasions. Then Arizona finally won 11-8. Reliever Archie Bradley and outfielder A.J. Pollock each had two-run triples in the late innings to secure the W and a spot alongside the Dodgers in the NLDS Game 1 in L.A. tomorrow night. Diamondbacks manager Torey Lovullo impressed with his team's resolve.
The emotional lifts, the emotional letdowns, those are hard to work through, but these guys did a great job.
Lovullo speaking on Fox Sports Arizona after the victory. The ALDSs start today. The Red Sox and Astros in Houston at 4:08 Eastern.
The ES apostrophe.
Yes, the Yankees and Indians at 7:30. In Cleveland, New York set its rotation last night. Sonny Gray today, CC Sabathia tomorrow. Then Masahiro Tanaka and Severino back in the Bronx. Running alongside playoff baseball tonight is Thursday Night Football. The Patriots and Buccaneers in Tampa Bay at 8 Eastern on CBS. Jameis Winston studies other QBs, so he's pumped to share a field with Tom Brady.
Getting a chance to witness greatness in front of us with Tom Brady coming into town. It gets you pumped up.
Brady has thrown 10 touchdowns, zero picks through four games. His Patriots added Rob Gronkowski to the injury report yesterday. He's questionable with a thigh injury. Andrew Luck practiced yesterday for the first time since January's shoulder surgery. He'll take today off, then get back on the field tomorrow. No time yet for game action, but Luck vows to play at some point this season. On the Oregon front, Washington corner Josh Norman reportedly dealing with damage to the lining of his lung plus a broken rib from Monday night's loss in Kansas City. But that being said, he is a football player, so Norman could play after this weekend's bye.
Let's just close up shop.
Yeah, the lining of the...
I've never heard that in any sort of...
was lining on the... Well,
enough's enough.
Yeah.
No more football at all?
No, that's it.
That's it.
Touch football. The Philadelphia Flyers started the new NHL season with a 5-3 win in San Jose. Three of their goals, including the game winner, mid-third period from Wayne Simmonds.
Yes, brother!
It is the first opening night hat trick in Flyers history. Minnesota Lynx beat the... Take that, Bobby Clark. The Minnesota Lynx beat the L.A. Sparks 85-76 to win their fourth WNBA title, all in the last seven seasons. That matches them with the Houston Comets for the most in league history. Boys?
All right, Bogus, thanks. We talked about Antonio Brown and his temper tantrum, throwing the Gatorade bucket and slapping Todd Haley's hand, and then Ben Roethlisberger came out and said that that's not a good thing. Mike Tomlin came out and said that's not a good thing. Well, Antonio Brown, well, he tweeted out that he apologizes. He says, apologize for all the noise and the distractions, Steeler Nation. Let's stay focused.
Yeah, don't be frustrated.
You just get a little frustrated.
Well, at least he apologized. Finally, what, we are 3 days removed? 4 days? Three, it was yesterday, 3 days removed from the incident. He finally got it.
Yeah.
He finally gets
did
it. Hopefully he went to his teammates.
Well, did
hopefully he
get
went
it?
To the quarterback. He went to his head coach and said the same thing before he had to tweet it out to the world.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm
not so sure. And I saw the comments from his former teammate, Ryan Clark. Ryan played with him 4 years.
Yeah, he's really good at fooling people.
Yeah,
I thought that was amazing.
This guy is a fraud as far as his persona. It's all about him. It's always been about him. He's selfish. He's like a lot of other wide receivers that have come before him. He's very, very selfish, and that's why he threw that tantrum. But yet he is not covered in the same manner that an Odell Beckham is, who is selfish, has displayed selfish behavior as well. And so interesting that a former teammate would come out and just smack him like that in the press.
Yeah, and Ryan Clark is always someone who's going to speak his mind. And I don't ever remember him having an issue with Antonio Brown when he was playing there, because that's when I was there. So this is obviously him, and I guarantee that he's still talking to people in that locker room, that there's no doubt that he's not just saying that he probably has heard from some people there.
There are a lot of people, I'm sure, in that locker room that feel the same way as Ryan Clark, but what are you going to say to the superstar of the team? Someone should be able to pull him aside, but is it going to resonate? They've been around him, a number of those guys, for a long, long time. They know what type of personality they're dealing with, and I'm sure there have been other instances where they had, man, you need to cool it, you need to chill out, but the guy is not hearing that. Antonio Brown is not going to hear that. He's sitting on top of the world in terms of his contract, his play, and he just thinks so highly of himself that he doesn't have to adhere to any of the other rules that the players in that locker room adhere to.
Yeah, so what would you say has been, out of both Antonio Brown and Odell Beckham Jr.'s stuff, out of both of those guys combined, who has done the worst thing? Because I think it's Antonio. This thing, to me, is the worst.
Yeah, and we've seen outbursts from Odell Beckham, but they've usually been on the sideline.
Well, this was on the sideline, too.
Well, he took it to the sideline. Yeah, the histrionics on the field, though,
right,
and waving at arms and all that. I haven't seen Odell Beckham slap a coach's arm off of him, anything like that.
What about Facebook Live Antonio Brown broadcasting?
Yeah, that was bad. A lot of people, it's nothing here. That was ridiculous. That was selfish. That was all about him. Here you are. Your team helped you get to the next round of the playoffs, and you're thinking about you and your Facebook followers and social media followers over the team. So I'm going to say Antonio Brown as well.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I think so. And maybe because we're... You know, I was there in Pittsburgh. Now we do the show from New York. It just seems like Beckham catches a lot more flack than Antonio Brown does. But that could just be because of where we are. But, I mean, Beckham's been getting crushed with some of his stuff. And Antonio Brown's been, he's been more of a diva than even Odell Beckham Jr. has.
Yeah.
And the boat thing, I didn't even think that was a big deal. Now, he played like crap in that playoff game. Right. But him on that boat wasn't even a big deal to me. So, Jiří Hudler, I believe is how you pronounce it.
Jiří, yes.
Jiří, or maybe Jiří. Jiří Hudler.
Yeah.
So, this is a report from a Czech newspaper that I read every morning. And it was a,
dude, you read that too?
Yeah, every morning.
The Prague Examiner.
Delta Airlines flight staff have accused Hudler. Why do you say it? I don't know.
It was a Rex Hudler.
Yeah, but it could be Hudler. Jiří Hudler.
How about Hoodlum?
So he had a belligerent outburst on a plane.
Yeah.
In which he demanded cocaine from a flight attendant.
No, he just asked for a Coke.
Not according to
they
the flight attendant.
They misconstrued that. No, it was just, hey, I just need something to wet my whistle. Got any Coke?
It's not what they are saying. He said, and the flight attendant assumed that the request was going to be for Coke, the soda, but he then further clarified that he was in the market for the other type of cocaine, the other type of Coke, rather, in cocaine. And then when she said, no, we don't have any of that here on this flight, he allegedly...
We just ran out.
Yeah.
The customer in 4B took the last bump.
It's Hudler, by the way. It's Jiří Hudler. right, we just... We were all well-stocked, but you just don't know how it's going to go on certain days.
Pablo Escobar Food Services screwed up.
So he became incensed and threatened the woman, telling her he would have his friends kill her upon arrival in Prague. On top of that, he's also accused of doing cocaine in the bathroom and then attempting to go to the bathroom on a food cart. So
how about do the bump on the food cart and then go to the restroom in the restroom? How about that? I'm just saying.
Make a little more sense.
Yeah. You know what they say? Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
So a fellow passenger said that Hudler appeared to be under the influence of alcohol during the flight, which is a little bit of a shock hearing all of this. So we'll see what happens. He doesn't have a contract right now.
No.
He was with the Stars last season.
I don't think he's going to be getting one. You think? Think he'll get one?
Probably not.
Nah, not after that. Do you have any Coke? Now, after these flight attendants have been, they have dealt with irate passengers. We had one on my flight the other night.
Really?
Yeah, this lady was tripping because we were delayed coming from West Palm Beach, and the captain was outside the cockpit explaining what the hell was going on. Now, did he go on a little bit too long and get in the weeds somewhat? Yeah, and talking about how the ground, how they would hold planes on the ground in yesteryear opposed to how they do it now. Instead of having you circle around, they just make you sit at the airport where you currently are. And the lady just started yelling, get to it! What's the bottom line? We don't need any help. Like, really?
Wow.
Yeah, I started screaming at the captain.
And she was angry. Like, yes, it wasn't like a joke.
Get to it! Wow. Shut up!
You see the latest video of that woman who was on Southwest flight? Whatever flight. And she said she had a deadly pet allergy and someone had like a dog on the plane. And then the cops had to take her off and she wasn't walking off the plane. And so they were starting to force her off the plane. And then it was just, she's like, I'm walking. And then she would just stand there. And they're like, well, then walk. And then they like, it was almost, this one was a hard one to read because there was definitely a lot of force being used there. Yeah. But she wasn't. She could have very easily just started walking. It was almost like she was trying to goad them into dragging her off the plane like Dr. Dow. It was very, I don't know, there's too much crap going on airlines.
I agree.
Too much stuff.
And it's late at night. And then other passengers start yelling at the lady. And I was like, oh, this is nuts. I'm going to get some fisticuffs on this thing.
London's in Sacramento on CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, London.
Hey, good morning. Waking me up. I know you guys talking about Antonio Brown and Odell Beckham. Now they're both divas, and which one's worse? And I'm not defending Antonio Brown for what he did or anything he's done. He's definitely been a little extra. But how could anything be worse in terms of the things that they've done than what Odell Beckham did with Josh Coleman on the field when he got suspended for targeting him after the play.
Yeah, that was really bad. You're right. That whole deal with him and Josh Norman and how he was using himself as a projectile, basically.
Right, but that's going after another player. That's not going after your own teammates and throwing a tantrum because you didn't get
but
the ball. He's thrown.
Selfish. It's still being selfish.
Well, he can say he was protecting his honor, and I don't know what Josh Norman was saying to him, and I'm not condoning what he did, not whatsoever. But
it hurts the team. If what you're doing is basically having a dogfight for like the entire game with Josh Norman, and then you end up picking up penalties and hurting your team, and you're not there, that hurts the team. That's more selfish than it is defending your honor, no matter what you say, no matter how you feel about it. That's just my opinion about it.
No, I would agree. Him not being there or getting a penalty in that situation hurts the team. But we've seen fisticuffs and things of those type of things in the past. What I'm saying is throwing a hissy fit in the manner in which this guy who's been in the league for a long, long time did, and then going over to the sideline and slapping your offensive coordinator's hands off of you when he's trying to calm you down and just acting like a petulant child. I mean, come on. That's
well, both super. Of them are overly emotional.
Yeah, very much.
I mean, both. It's not. I don't know if there's one worse than the other, but it is a good point. I mean, that whole thing with Josh Norman, it's not something I mentioned when I was comparing the two. Neither one of them are guys that are someone you want to model yourself after. I mean, you talk about Jerry Rice, Larry Fitzgerald, guys like that who were just as good, if not better, who did not act in that manner. So. Yeah. It's unfortunate.
Yeah, how many times has Larry Fitzgerald been open and the quarterback missed him throughout his career?
Yeah,
sure, a ton.
Right, he wasn't knocking Bruce Arians' headset off after that. Yeah. All right, coming up next, talk a little more baseball as the postseason continues tonight.
And we got an apology, another apology. These are the folks that got me in trouble yesterday.
They're everywhere.
I know.
These apologies.
Yeah.
It's the world we're living in now. Everybody's apologized. Coming right back.
Greg Giannotti, Brian Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Game one of the ALDS, the Yankees and Indians tonight, 7:38. Thank you for 22 minutes earlier from Cleveland. And I know you're going to be jacked up and tuned in.
Woo! I'm already jacked up, baby. 7:38 on the dot. First pitch, Sonny Gray going for the Yankees. Trevor Bauer for the Indians. The Indians won 34 of their last 38 games. You know what that means? They were hot. Cleveland went 5-2 against the Yankees this year. Swept them last time they faced them here in the Bronx.
Something's going on in the control room.
Oh, man. Oh, dog. Why you have to do that, man?
So it looks like Mike Bisseglia has put on a Yankees jersey. It's an odd, though.
Let me see. Move this way.
It's a weird Yankee jersey, though. It's got the red.
It's a 4th of July jersey.
That won't jinx us.
Yes, that's cool. New York Yankees 4th of July jersey.
Right.
It's got the red lettering.
Yeah,
but it's definitely a Yankees jersey.
Yeah. Let me see the back. What number you got? Oh, that won't hurt us. No number, no nothing.
How's that feel?
Feel like a winner.
Only took him 30 some years.
34.
34 years.
I can't.
What? That's not going to jinx it. That doesn't bother me. I thought that was one of the regular.
Oh, if it was a regular jersey?
That would bother me. That won't bother us. It has no number.
We'll see what else I got back here.
And it's 4th of July lettering on the front. Nah, that doesn't bother me at all.
But he's not trying to jinx you, though. He's trying to jumping on board.
Yeah, but he would.
Unintentional jinx, you're saying?
Exactly.
All right.
My sports teams are great. You have nothing to worry about.
Just like America.
Giants 0-4. Nets, worst record in basketball last year. Mets, one of the most disappointing seasons of your lifetime.
So you want to continue down this road?
Let's go Yankees.
This is a really good situation for them, though, this series. I know that you're going to yell at me and do your whole, like, championship! Every year, championship!
Okay.
But I think it's a good situation because they lose this series. It's like, okay. You know, look at all these young guys. Look what they were able to do. They ran into a buzzsaw.
Can we have that discussion after the series?
No, because I'm telling you that
if you win, it's like the greatest thing ever.
Can we have that discussion as well?
If you lose, it's good. No, why not? If we waited till after everything to have a discussion, we'd never have a show.
Yes, we would.
No.
We can talk about the matchup and what's transpired.
No, then I'll say, let's talk about after the series, about Kluber and how he did. No. But what I'm saying is, as a fan, this is one of the great situations to be in. I've always talked about this. When a team overachieves, it's the best spot for a fan, because if and when you end up losing in the postseason, you don't feel as bad about it. And you're extra excited for the next year.
So you can lean on the fact that they weren't supposed to be in this position.
Right. And now they're
They're in that position, and you've bought in, and it's still, I'm speaking from my perspective, it still stings, even though they weren't picked to be in this situation. They overachieved. They
but look
got
who they're
here.
Running into.
I understand
you just
who
said
they're
it.
Running into,
won
but still.
34-38.
I know, but still. You buy in, you jump on the train, you're all in, emotionally.
Sure.
You're in, and then it doesn't pan out. It still hurts. It still stings.
It'll still sting, but not as much as if
And you're not promised anything down the line. Anything can happen.
Sure.
Come on.
Sure, but it's still, I mean, you understand the loss a little bit more in this situation.
No, I do not.
As opposed to having high expectations and everything you do outside of winning is a failure.
I expect Sonny Gray, a guy who's been in the league for a while now, to come out and pitch like the Sonny Gray of old. That's what I expect. The youngsters on this roster, you know, the Judges and the Sanchez's, I expect them to play like they've done all season. They haven't played like they're, you know, first, second year pros.
No, they haven't. But
so continue to play like that.
And they might, still lose because Cleveland's better.
Oh, gosh.
They're better.
They are a better team, yes.
I don't think there's anything that I'm saying that's anti-Yankee or anything.
No, you're not.
I'm saying I would love for my team to be in this situation.
But I'm disputing how I should feel if they don't succeed in this series. That's all.
Well, it's just easier to digest.
No,
yes, it is. When you are an underdog, it's easier to digest.
It's not easier to digest because you've bought in. You're not even thinking about them being an underdog. You're not even thinking about them overachieving. You're thinking about they are here. They are in the show. They have an opportunity to continue to get to a World Series. That's what I'm thinking about. And if they don't succeed, it's going to hurt just as if this was a veteran team.
Yeah, I don't know. I disagree. In all my experiences, the seasons where a team overachieves and then gets into the postseason and loses to a better team, I feel better about those years than like the 1998 Vikings who were 15-1 and were over a touchdown favorite at home in an NFC Championship game and lost in overtime. I mean, that's the worst ever. That's just worse. It's just worse.
I lost in playing basketball in high school. We lost in the first round of playoffs, and the team we lost to, we should have beaten. I think they beat us by 4 points. And our center was higher than the moon.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Is that the high G guy?
No. That's a different, different dude. No,
okay.
No. If he was not so high under the influence, we win. And the team we lost to went on to win the state championship. That's my point. So I, somewhat understand where you're coming from. You know, if Cleveland goes on, if they were to somehow surprisingly knock off the Yankees and win it all, I somewhat find some solace in that. But that's not how I'm thinking right now.
Yeah.
Maybe down the road, but not immediately.
Okay. Well, we'll see how you feel at that point. And I'm not telling you how to feel. I'm just saying that it's easier to process.
I understand exactly where you're coming from, homeboy.
All right.
I'm with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
On the same page.
Yeah, we lamping.
This is the other apology you were referencing before. It was Alex Morgan.
Yeah.
When she was at Epcot Center. And she got drunk and belligerent and verbally aggressive.
She and a whole host of people that were in her party.
Yeah. So the cops showed up and they were very loud and belligerent towards staff around guests.
Now, did the people who were getting on Cam Newton on the Twitter get on them? Maybe not so much.
Well, I think these are different things.
I know they're different things, they're berating law enforcement. And
I'm sure that she got her fair share of stuff.
I just want to make sure.
I'm almost positive.
I want to make sure we're fair here.
She said, "I want to apologize for my actions that occurred over the weekend. I will learn from this and make sure it doesn't happen again. Hashtag live and learn." So, I don't want to really sit here and judge, but the one thing I'll say is when I see people get so drunk where the cops have to get involved and you're not, like, driving a vehicle, like, that's just, I mean, it's a little unnecessary. Like, the whole thing with that ESPN talk show host, Ryan Russillo, who, like, ended up in some dude's house mm-hmm. with his pants off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and, like, the cops have to show up. It's just that type of stuff, like, can you say when at some point? Like, do you have to get so drunk that you're not even getting a DUI, but, like, your behavior is so abhorrent that the cops get involved? Now, I've done my fair share of drinking and having fun. I'm not saying that I'm any sort of saint, but I've never gotten to a point, and I'm 35 now, so that's a long time of past 21 and even before that. But that's a long time now where I've been in these situations, my entire 20s. I've never been so drunk where the cops had to get involved in something. Now, maybe that's just me.
Yeah.
But I got to pat myself on the back.
There you go. Let me help you.
Yeah.
Ooh, ooh, that's a big back.
Yeah. No, it is. It's like a pork shoulder. Yep. I mean, come on. Just stop.
Right.
You can go out and, I mean, do you have to be yelling and screaming and blacking out? Like, stop it.
Yeah.
Gosh.
That is so true. And at least she issued an apology. It seemed heartfelt and contrite. Live and learn, I think, was the hashtag that she used. And they were completely in the wrong. And it didn't take them 2 or 3, 4 days to figure that out. It was immediately. So
yeah. I mean, it's like an obvious. Dude, don't you feel like an idiot, too, when you wake up the next day? You're like, oh, my God. What a moron I am.
Jeez. Yes, that's exactly how you feel.
Right.
I did what?
Especially, and how old is she now? It's like, I mean, she's not like she's...
She's young, man. Spring chicken. 20s, right?
Yeah,
20s?
I don't know.
28.
Yeah, 28. Still, that's the new 18.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, when does that stuff stop, though? When you say, like, the 40s, the new 30, 50s, the new 40, you know, whatever that is.
It don't stop.
Like, it shouldn't be 28, the new 18, because, like, at 28, you need to be a lot more mature than you are at 18.
90's the new 70.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
90 is not the new 70.
Yes, it is. Will be soon.
That is nonsense.
70's the new 50.
I mean, come on. The one thing I'll probably say that I'd say that maybe 60's the new 50. Like, I'll go with that one. That's the one I'll go with.
That's it?
The other one's not so much.
All right.
But, like, I could see 60-year-olds now I don't look at anywhere near, you know, like 50, 60. I think that's a big gap. I'll go with that one. Mm-hmm. Co-sign it.
All right. We'll meet in the middle.
Coming up next.
Sorry, 90-year-olds.
I think we have a couple listening. Gio and Jones, CBS Sports Radio.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.